Thanks, Bob. My name's Shane. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here with you guys tonight and talk about concepts and a little bit about some, stuff related to concepts. So Dee had reminded me that I had this opportunity to talk to you guys. So we've talked the last few days. And so I appreciate it. I'm honored. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I always like to give a little background on myself. We got plenty of time. I can get through concept two in about 15 minutes. But I like it better this way. Hopefully we'll have some good discussion. You'll learn some about me. You know, I always like to say that I think that we're all enslaved in Alcoholics Anonymous by our understanding and our background and our education. And we bring different perspectives and understandings into perspectives from literature. I'm a literature guy. I go by the literature. What I'll mainly be reading from tonight is this great, big, huge service manual. I love it. It's got pictures. What's cool is that I was a delegate at the conference when we voted on this, and I saw it and mine was blown. It reminded me of something that actually was modern and in the 2000s. So I love it. I'll also read through the part about concept two and concepts illustrated. I think that's a great pamphlet. It simplifies everything and it's only a paragraph or two. So I'll do some reading. I'll do some talking. I'm not an expert on concepts. There's a lot of people that know a lot more than I do about concepts. I still learn about concepts every day, but we'll muddle through and see if we can't learn a little and then also generate a good conversation. I like to do roundtable type discussions where we have people interacting, and I'm not looking for that to be all about asking me questions. You know, just I like to hear your perspectives and your understandings, questions as well, right? But just a discussion between family and friends about what concept I'm hearing something. I don't think that's me. So maybe somebody's not muted. But anyway, I always like to give a little background about myself because that'll help you guys see where I come from. So the most important things whenever I attend a workshop or hear an AA speaker, I always wonder how old is that person and how long have they been sober? So my sobriety date is 5/6/2002, which means that in this May, I'll celebrate 22 years. I got sober when I was 28 years old, hopefully for the last time. And if you're not good in math, then that means that I'm 49. I'll turn 50 on April the 17th. So I got sober originally, really got introduced to alcohol. Didn't really do much with that. Got sober at 20, stayed sober from 20 to 25. In Alcoholics Anonymous, relapsed at 25, stayed drunk from 25 to 28, and then got sober at 28, right? And from the very beginning, I was really introduced to Big Book Recovery. Like, you know, I got in with this group, the Basement Bunch, and they got sober in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. They believed in sponsorship. But one thing that they didn't understand was general service. So I want to be careful about how I say this because I think this is interesting, right? So you know, I was involved in this group this last time, really the same group the first time. Anyway, came back in and got sober and was involved in this group this past time. And we just got really big and we decided that we would probably split, that we needed two different groups. And it wasn't necessarily out of resentment. You know, I mean, I think there were some people that thought things should be done differently, but it was mostly about just too many people there, right? So we start this new group and then I get nominated, elected GSR, and I have no idea what that is. I had actually nominated one of my good friends, Larry C., and he declined it. And then I got nominated and then elected for GSR, and I had no idea what GSR meant. I come from a background in Alcoholics Anonymous where we prided ourselves on being organic, boots-on-the-ground, big book thumpers, and we didn't really think there was much value in general service. So I didn't attend district meetings. We would have an occasional home group business meeting, but it was mostly about how much firewood we needed and whether we were about to run out of coffee or not. Like, we weren't plugged into the district. I had no idea what a delegate was, right? So I got elected GSR, and then I asked that same friend of mine, Larry C., to be my service sponsor. He declined. That was two for two. And he sent me to this guy, Larry A. Larry A. was a past delegate panel 40. And he sent me to Larry A., and Larry A. set me down. I had been sober for 10 years at that time. No introduction to general service conference structure at all, right? Had no idea what a district was or a DCM was, let alone a concept or a background or an annual conference. So Larry started to take me through literature and the traditions first, and then the concepts, like my recovery sponsor had taken me through the 12 steps as they're outlined in the book. Larry would later on become just my sponsor, which is, I think, how things are. And he's my sponsor today. And, you know, we studied 12 and 12 was the first thing that we went through. We studied, the AA tradition. We studied Traditions Illustrated, AA Comes of Age, Language of the Heart, and we poured ourselves into literature, and he took me through this literature. And I soon learned that Alcoholics Anonymous, get this, was a three legacy organization, right? I was familiar with recovery, but I had no idea about unity or service. And once I become more educated about all three of our legacies, my AA world went from black and white to 4K, right? Like, I realized I had really only been participating in one third of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, it was the recovery leg. So, you know, I was reasonably happy and content and had had the desire to take a drink in 10 years and had reassembled my life. But, you know, after 10 years, I had begun to wonder, like, is this all there is to Alcoholics Anonymous? Like, I go to meetings, I sponsor guys, I take them through the steps. It got to the point where I would pick up a new guy and I could almost tell you what he was going to say in a fifth step. I'm like, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say this, he's going to say that. Like, chair meetings, the same old stuff. So I, even after 10 years, I begin to feel like, is there something more to Alcoholics Anonymous, or is this all there is to it? Come to find out, yeah, there's two thirds more, right? I was only doing a third of it. So I got thrown into general service and madly fell in love with it, become GSR, DCM, area chairperson, alternate delegate and delegate, right? About 6 years into that, around area chairperson, I become an advocate for technology. Before COVID, I recognized that my life looked a lot different outside of AA with respect to technology. And I've always, you know, well, not always, I guess, but, you know, I use technology a lot in my life, social media, different kinds of apps. And I thought, why is Alcoholics Anonymous not using some of this technology that other nonprofit organizations use that I use every day in my life that is a communication tool for people that, you know, I interact with? Why are we not doing that? So I begin to throw myself into technology. And I think that's what I'm mostly known by. If someone were to say, you know, who is Shane S? So I was fortunate enough to be elected as the 71st General Service Conference, Conference Committee on Public Information Chair. That was right up my alley. And COVID came, and that was amazing. Everybody was, oh, I'm so sad that I'm not going to conference. And I'm like, yeah, but we're going to have the first conference on Zoom. Like, it was right up my alley, right? So always been an advocate for technology. And, you know, really that's taught me more about concepts and traditions than just about anything else, because I find myself in difficult conversations with people about how can we adopt technology? And I know this is not a technology workshop, but how can we adopt technology and maintain the integrity primarily of the traditions 11 and 12. So I poured myself into these principles when I first got into general service. And then I found myself pouring myself into these principles when I become this advocate in Alcoholics Anonymous for technology, right? Now, I also always like to tell everybody, now I'm at my mom's, so this is a wonderful story, but we moved my mom from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is Middle Tennessee. It's about 2 hours from Chattanooga to Chattanooga. And I'm sitting, she's right across the table from me, probably reading her Bible or doing something real important. And so I'm in her house. She's got this new house. But I typically give an announcement and say I have a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a 20-month-old. So if you hear yelling and screaming in the background, bear with me. But you won't hear that tonight. But I realized that, I really say that because I want people to know how blessed I am and you know, what God has given me. And it's all a product of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's a little bit about me. And so we're gonna get started. Sometimes I think the concepts are harder for us to understand. And here's what I like to say. So I have declined opportunities to present on how traditions work in my home or how concepts work in my home. I am a fundamentalist by nature. I am an AA fundamentalist. So what that means to me is the principles that I use in my marriage, and I'm fortunate to have a really good marriage. You know, my wife is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we started this family and we're using the principles in AA to help drive us and raise our children. But I think the principles that I use in my marriage are the principles that are contained in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in the book entitled The Same. I think the principles that I use to interact with my group personally and that my group uses to interact with other groups in the outside world are contained within the 12 traditions. But then I think the principles that we use that teaches us how to operate from a business perspective you know, particularly at the conference, and the responsibilities that we delegate to all levels of the pyramid, the triangle, are contained in the concepts. So people will say, hey, we're doing a traditions workshop on how traditions work in your marriage. Would you be a part of that? I'm like, look, I have to respectfully decline. You don't want me on that thing anyway, because I'm a fundamentalist and I'm going to blow the whole workshop. Keep me off of it. If you want to talk about a podcast or you want to talk about technology, I'm your guy, right? So I'll say all that to say that fundamentally is my approach to concepts. However, the concepts do specifically say that there are some concepts that we need to practice, you know, from the top down, right? Some of them are talk about the conference, and they talk about the responsibility that we as the fellowship turn over to the conference, specifically the conference, right? You know, some of them are specific to the business that we do once a year at our annual conference in New York. But Bill writes in some of them, Bernard Smith helped Bill write the concepts, writes in some of them, like, we ought to practice this one, like right of decision. That's an important one. That's one that we should practice at the group level, at the district level, at the area level, right? So I don't think that I use the concepts in my marriage, but I do think that there are principles contained within the concepts that I use in all walks of my AA life, right? And I think that's important to recognize. I think that the traditions and the concepts are as spiritual in nature and divinely inspired as the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. There are principles, and we'll talk about some of them tonight. There's principles with a small p and principles with a big p, right? Like each concept will be considered a principle. But within that big principle, there's like several little mini principles, right? But there's principles, you know, in these concepts that really are counterintuitive for how alcoholics operate. Like I am, by my very nature, selfish, self-consumed, concerned with myself. I like to say a living legend in my own mind. You know, how are you doing? Don't worry about me. I got me taken care of, right? It's only through the 12 steps, other spiritual principles, and God's grace that I'm able to lay that aside enough to be a pretty good dad and a pretty good neighbor and a pretty good employee, right? Well, so there's concepts or there's principles in these concepts that are virtually impossible for a self-centered alcoholic alcoholic to apply. One of them is trust, and we're going to talk about trust tonight. Trust is very hard for an alcoholic for various different reasons. Sometimes I think it's because we don't trust people because they don't trust us, or that's not, you know, something that we're used to, or that we've been raised on the street, and, you know, we've been hurt or we've been damaged. But, you know, there are risk factors with trust, but trust is a vulnerability that comes from a spiritual place, right? And when we delegate authority and we delegate responsibility, we're trusting the person that we're turning that responsibility over to. And sometimes there's not an opportunity to micromanage. Sometimes there's not an opportunity to go back and get a consensus of how our groups or our districts or our areas feel. And we have to trust that person that we've elected. You know, we'll talk a lot about this too, but one of the things that I really want to focus on tonight is that we love to talk about our trustees and delegates, you know, carrying the viewpoints and opinions of their respective areas to conference. Our trustees adhering to and trying to practice the spiritual principles of traditions and concepts. What we don't like to talk about is, are we the fellowship, right? Am I electing delegates or my delegate based on their ability to serve and their knowledge of the spiritual principles? Or am I voting for a delegate based on how much I like them personally, right? Or how popular they are, or how I don't want somebody else to get elected? Am I chastising trustees and judging trustees about decisions that they make only? Or am I asking difficult questions, you know, hard questions, asking for verification, but also aligning that with, tempering that with trust, sometimes blind running trust, right? It's really easy for us in the fellowship to focus on other people and not us. Go figure, right? Standard garden variety alcoholism. It's easy for me to look at my neighbor and see what my neighbor should be doing differently, but it's very painful and difficult for me to look at what I'm doing and what I should look at differently, right? So let's get into some nuts and bolts of some stuff. And I don't, you know, I really get carried away with talking. I guess I love to hear myself talking. I might not be the best at looking at these hands, virtual hands raised. So, Bob, interrupt me or stop me if you get a question. And I might periodically stop. Before we go into reading, do you have anything there in your basket that we need to cover or talk about?
Nothing yet.
Okay. So we're gonna do some reading, and I think first we should sort of talk about concept one and what that's all about. Like, what are the concepts? Like, what's the big idea behind the concepts? What are we doing? Well, we're doing several things. One of the things that we're doing is that we're recognizing that Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob are not going to live forever, and they have to turn Alcoholics Anonymous over to somebody because they're not going to be here forever, right? So who are they going to turn Alcoholics Anonymous over to? Well, they're going to turn it over to the trustees, a certain set of responsibilities that delegate to our trustees, a certain set of responsibilities or delegation that turn over to the fellowship, right? And then we read about the fellowship having final authority over all things Alcoholics Anonymous. So we'll just read a little in concept one. So I'm in this big, gorgeous, beautiful colored book that looks like it was printed in 2022. And this is the first opening paragraph in the text. Says concept one: the final responsibility and the ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our fellowship. Now, everybody likes to read that and say, ah, yeah, groups on top, right? That's what we think about, groups on top. My delegate goes to conference and tells the conference what they ought to be doing and represents the viewpoints and opinions of my area, and the Area 64 is on top. But what does that mean, and what kind of responsibility does that come with? You know, so in my profession, I have a leadership role and I have to delegate responsibility to people, right? But with delegating responsibility comes its own responsibility. Like, I'm responsible for their performance, right? And when I talk to the people that I directly report to, they're not interested that so-and-so did such and such and we didn't make a deadline. They want to know where I dropped the ball, right? So here's a question for you. If our conference fails one year on a particular agenda item, is that a failure of the conference? Let's do this. If there's a particular agenda item that we feel in the fellowship that does not protect the integrity, sanctify the integrity of our AA message, and that gets passed, is that a failure of the conference, or is that a failure of the fellowship, or is it both? Right? Something to think about. So the last paragraph, there's a lot of good stuff in the middle. We're not on concept one. Then on page C5, the last paragraph says, and I think this sums up really well, therefore we believe that we see in our fellowship a spiritualized society characterized by enough enlightenment. I don't know, but that's like a Bill Wilson word, right? Enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love, two of my favorite words. Maybe enlightenment is not one of my favorite words because I don't really know what that means. But anyway, enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love of man and of what? God. So, you know, currently there is a debate in Alcoholics Anonymous, particularly within General Service, about what role God plays in Alcoholics Anonymous. Or if a God does, right? And we see sort of a secular movement sometimes, and I'm not saying with literature or whatever, but, you know, we're really evaluating how wide our doors are open and whether we're allowing AA to be available to everyone, regardless of where they come from or how they feel or how they believe. And as a result of that, we're having some difficult conversations about what we look like spiritually. As a fundamentalist, I think we should always look like we've looked spiritually, or we should look like we've always looked like spiritually. I believe that the mere definition of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is finding a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem. And I think the steps enable us to find such a power. And that sounds brilliant, but that's verbatim from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So what's this say? Therefore, we believe and we see in our fellowship a spiritualized society characterized by enough enlightenment, enough responsibility, and enough love of man and of God to ensure that our democracy of world services will work under all conditions. We are confident that we can rely upon tradition two. And what is tradition two? Our group conscience and its trusted servants. Hence, it is with a sense of great security that we old-timers have now fully vested in AA's General Service Conference the authority for giving shape enough of the labors of its chosen delegates, trustees, and service workers to the destiny that we trust God in his wisdom and is holding in store for all of us. So we elected GSR, right? That GSR gets sent to an area assembly. At an area assembly, GSRs get together and they elect a delegate. That area sends a delegate to conference, and we charge accountability of our area, our viewpoints and opinions, to that delegate to represent us. Now, we also give him authority, responsibility, that if he gets to conference, a delegate should do this. A delegate should spend as much time as they can traveling their area, whether it's Zoom or in person. You know, I've done a lot of both, right? I've done a lot of Zoom pre-conference reports. I've done a lot of in-person pre-conference reports. Going through the agenda and asking districts how they feel about the content of an agenda. How do you feel about this agenda item? Does your group support it? Is your group opposed to it? Do you have any questions about it? What would you like to see different? Blah, 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 right? Plain language, big book. I don't understand people who say, well, when did this happen? And I don't say, 6 years ago. We've been having these conversations about the preamble in the plain language big book since I was a chairperson, which was 8 years ago or almost 10 years ago, right? Like, we were talking about gender neutralized preamble almost a decade ago. None of this is new. It's been on the agenda for years. But anyway, a delegate should go make rounds, attend all the districts and groups they can, and as the service manual says, gather the viewpoints and opinions of the respective areas and take that with them to conference. So are they there to represent the viewpoints and opinions of their area? No. They're there to present that and share with the area and then collect how all the other areas feel and put all that in a mixer and hit blend and rely on God and vote for what they think is best for Alcoholics Anonymous. If you don't gather the viewpoints and opinions, let's say you're a delegate from Hawaii and you go and you don't gather any viewpoints, maybe I need to hear something from Hawaii about how they feel about this agenda item in order to make my decision. Maybe I need to feel how an area in California or New York feels, or just wherever, before I make. I know they need to feel how Tennessee feels about this agenda item. I've tried my best to share on agenda items when they hit the floor briefly the best I could about how our area, the great state of Tennessee, felt about certain agenda items, right? And it's because I felt like that I owed that to the conference. Like I owed it to Area 64 and I owed it to the conference for a voice to be heard, not so we could pass that, but so that we could all make a decision about what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous, right? So the delegates should collect the viewpoints and opinions of their area, should take that to conference and present it, and then they should listen to what everybody else has to say. And then at that point, make the best decision they can for the well-being. That's why we have different areas. So we can make a decision as a team. Now, that only works if you elect a delegate that understands his job and his responsibilities and is committed to it and will do it. That only works if you send a delegate to New York that will carry the viewpoints and opinions and understand that. That only works if you, as a group or a district, tell your delegate how you feel. You know, we're at a time in AA where we're you know, adopting new stuff, right? And I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of telling you guys how I feel about most of that stuff, but I'll tell you that, you know, here's what happens in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I had it happen to me as a delegate. We don't elect a GSR. Or maybe we do, and we don't send them to assembly because $250 a quarter is a lot. Now, I just bought a new pair of Jordans for $500, and I got a bake mod that I paid $160 for, and I got 5 gigabytes per second of internet speed, but I can't put $3 in the basket every night and send my GSR to an assembly. I get it, you know. And so we don't send our GSRs to assemblies. And as a result of that, our delegates don't hear how our groups feel. You know, and a delegate will make a decision about how to vote it, regardless of whether he has viewpoints and opinions stored up here. He has to. So what do we do? we practice apathy in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like watch a ball game on Saturday night instead of going to the district meeting. You know, we take our kids to Dollywood instead of Dollywood. That tells you where I'm from. Hey, by the way, listen, if it's not already, you know, clear to you guys, it will become abundantly clear tonight that I'm not from Florida. I'm from Tennessee or somewhere south. It sounds like that. Georgia, Alabama, somewhere, right? But anyway, we go to take our kids to Dollywood on the weekend instead of going to, you know, an area assembly. And we leave our delegate disenfranchised and doesn't understand or know how groups feel. And then they go to the conference and make the best decision they have. And then we print that piece of literature. And then we go to central office and we're mad that we printed it. I can't believe that Alcoholics Anonymous has printed this. Well, does your group have a GSR? Do you send that GSR to district meetings? Do you send that GSR to area assemblies? Do you tell your GSR how you feel? Does your GSR tell your DCM and your delegate how you feel? Do you attend pre-conference reports? Do you attend post-conference reports? Have you done everything at your disposal as outlined in your responsibility as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous or trusted servant, depending on your role, that you're supposed to do to have to provide some feedback, to have a seat at the table, to be a part of the team? Have you done that? And most of the time, the answer is no. So we sit in AA, we do nothing, and then we complain about the AA that we're given. Right. So I've been guilty of it before in the past. You know, sometimes I can still be guilty of it. But anyway, that's what we're looking at, right? We're turning Alcoholics Anonymous over to the AA groups. They have the ultimate authority, you know, at conference. So now we're going into concept two. So what's concept two say and what's it mean? So let's read, like, my all-time favorite thing. Let's read concept two in the Concepts Illustrated pamphlet, which I think is great. So, and I like all these little cars they have. Y'all can't see that, can y'all? No, you can't. Anyway, got a bus, and they got like, it looks like, a 1986 Buick Regal or something, whatever, right? So it says concept two, and this is on page, doesn't really matter because it's a pamphlet. You can figure it out. There's no, it doesn't look like there's a page number. Is there a page? No, there's not. Anyway, concept two, this part's in our big book here that we got, but it says, when in 1955, the AA groups confirmed the permanent charter for their General Service Conference, they thereby delegated to the conference complete authority for the active maintenance of our world services and thereby made the conference, accepting for any change in the 12 traditions or in Article 12 of the conference charter, the actual voice and the effective conscience for a whole society. And here we go. These are two paragraphs that really explain concept two well. So underneath the 1986 Buick Regal, it starts. It says, concept one establishes final responsibility and ultimate authority of the AA groups, but in actual practice, how are they to manage AA service affairs? By delegation, concept two declares. So we're going to turn over this to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, but how are they going to do that? Like, let's say there's no conference, and you just have a bunch of AA groups all over the place, and you say, hey, you know what? Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob are not going to be here forever. We've got to have some type of leadership or authority or responsibility that goes on, you know, generation after generation forever. It only makes sense that groups have that because groups will be here forever. So y'all go ahead and operate Alcoholics Anonymous. All the groups would be like, well, what's that look like? How do we do that? What's that look like? Well, that's where we come in with this conference, this idea of the conference. So it says, Bill and Dr. Bob, I think I already read this, entrusted by the early groups to get the program. No, this is where we start. Bill and Dr. Bob, entrusted by the early groups to get the program going and to spread the message, found non-alcoholic friends to help them. They formed a trusteeship and delegated to it the responsibility for finances, the big book and other literature, public information, the service office, and the AA grapevine. However, as the trustees constantly looked to the co-founders for advice and guidance, and the groups also continue to hold them accountable, it was evident that the leadership should be transferred to the AA groups as a whole. But if the groups were to carry on their primary purpose, they should have to delegate their leadership role to General Service Conference. They do this by electing a General Service Representative for each group. Let's read that again. But if the groups were to carry on their primary purpose, you know what our primary purpose is. Right. If the groups were to carry on their primary purpose, they would have to delegate their leadership role to a General Service Conference. They do this by electing a General Service Representative to each group. Does the GSR go to a conference? No. GSRs don't go to the conference. So how does GSR manage GSO staff? No, they don't have anything to do with that. But what did they do? Well, it goes on to say, the GSRs meet regularly in area assemblies and every 2 years elect a delegate from among their number. Every April, the delegates from the 93 areas in the U.S. and Canada meet for 6 days with the trustees of the General Service Board, the staffs of the General Service Office, and AA Grapevine and certain other service workers. Thus, this General Service Conference of AA is the actual voice and effective conscience of our whole society and its world affairs. What goes on in conference is not just important. It drives the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. Once a year in New York, we are writing policy and procedure for the future of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Bernard Smith, why do we need an AA conference? My favorite is the baby born tonight destined for alcoholism, right? We need an Alcoholics Anonymous to be here for the future generation of AA that hasn't made it yet. Who sets the tone? Who determines policy, procedure, and even today at this point, steps and traditions, who determines that, right? Are we powerless over that? And then the conference, just these bunch of 93 delegates and trustees and GSO staff members get together and make decisions about AA and we're stuck with it? No, that's not how it is. That's what we like to think sometimes when things don't go our way, you know? But that's just apathy is all that is, right? We are responsible for the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. Listen, I always tell this story about Kate. So I don't like to brand my kids as alcoholics. So I brand their wives as alcoholics. Now, remember, they're only 5, almost 6, 4, and 20 months. But let's say that Asher marries a girl named Kate, right? And Kate's a great wife, and Kate's a great daughter-in-law, and Kate's a great mom. But we do notice that, you know, Asher's off being a neurosurgeon, like I assume he will be, or a U.S. senator, or a pro football player. I'm just kidding. But anyway, he's off doing something real important, and Kate's home with the kids. And we notice that Kate seems to be under distress quite often and frustrated. And knowing my future grandkids, I don't, you know, blame her. And we've noticed a couple of times that when she comes over to the house that we can smell alcohol on her breath. And that's a little alarming for us because we're recovered alcoholics and we're thinking, uh-oh, Kate's had a drink or two, but maybe, you know, whatever, some friends came over for a wine party. And then we notice the next time Kate comes over, her words are slurring a little. And we're like, oh, but maybe she started some new medication and that's whatever. And then before you know it, Kate gets a DUI. And Asher calls and says, Mom, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. My wife got a DUI. Then before you know it, Kate's not fit to take care of the kids and Kate's not fit to be a wife. And here we have this person in our family that needs Alcoholics Anonymous as much, if not more, than anybody else, that's a driver for the health and safety of our future family. Do you think Kate is going to find Alcoholics Anonymous in a literature rack? Asher is 6. I'm going to tell you, she's not going to find AA in a literature rack. She's not going to find AA in a phone book. She's not going to find AA in the newspaper. She's just not going to. She's going to find AA on the internet. Or social media, or a PSA on YouTube, right? So one of the reasons why I'm such an advocate for technology is because I really do believe that I'm contributing to the future of Alcoholics Anonymous by driving, advocating for technology. But we also have to practice our principles and our traditions when we do that. But I'm taking personal accountability the best that I possibly can for the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. Another part of responsibility that I have to take is how I elect the people that I elect, including my home group GSR, right? Am I going to let my buddy or my sponsor? Here's a hard one. This one's hard. I've always struggled with this. I got a sponsee who's been through the steps, had a spiritual awakening. He's really great. Everybody likes him. He's friendly. He's smart. He can win the election, no problem, for GSR and DCM. But he works every third Saturday. And I know that he has limited availability. He knows that too. And he stalled a little on going through the concepts with me, showed a little bit of interest, but not a whole lot. But then I got somebody else that I don't sponsor that's not in my lineage that's available every Saturday and every Sunday for 2 years and knows the concepts better than I do. Do I vote for my sponsee or do I vote for the person who's available? That's a tough one. You ever been in that situation? I've done both and I felt bad about both of them. you know. But I'm personally accountable to the people that elected AA because they're the ones who are going to make these decisions about the delegate that we send to the conference. And the delegate that we send to the conference is going to be the driver for how we're heard at conference. As long as what? I'm accountable to that delegate and I provide feedback, you know, within the structure of how that works. Delegate's not interested in hearing how Shane S. feels. He's interested in hearing how Vision for You feels. And Shane S. is a member of Vision for You, right? I have one voice. You know, people, I've had people say, you know, trustees, past trustees, and, you know, my group will do different things. And they'll say, you know, well, you know, they've got a past delegate, you know, panel 70. So recent past delegate in there. I said, let me tell you something. I said, as a past delegate, I'm the person at my home group that nobody pays attention to. You know, I could say, let's do this or do that. And they're like, yeah, that's great, Shane. Anyway, what I was saying is, you know, they're just not impressed, right? But anyway, so I have this accountability. Like, our delegates have this accountability. Like, this is how we drive policy and procedure and we maintain the integrity of the AA message, or we change it if that's what we want. This is just as important for adopting changes in our policy and procedure and recovery. As a fundamentalist, I don't think our recovery needs any changes. I think our policy and procedure does. We need more technology, right? We got just enough to be appropriate during COVID, and now we're like, eh, whatever. You know? So that's how concept two is that, you know, we're going to turn over the conference to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, but the Fellowship has this big responsibility through elected, trusted servants to be responsible to that accountability. And if we do that, if we can figure out a way to do that, then Bernard Smith and what we read will be true. And there will be a baby that's born that's destined for alcoholism in 50 or 100 and 150 years from now who will find Alcoholics Anonymous and have an opportunity at sobriety that we all have had as long as we do the work. So I always finish by saying that, you know, I used to tell my sponsees that you get out of AA what you put into it, right? And you get out of a relationship with God what you put into it. And I used to say, if you just meet God halfway, he'll meet you the other half. After 22 years of sobriety and having three children, I learned that that's a huge lie. God does the work. I don't have to go halfway. All I got to do is have a little bit of willingness to take one step and he'll come get me, right? General service is a lot like that. You don't have to be a rock star killer to do this stuff, right? You don't have to be a delegate. You don't have to be the number one selected, most wanted GSR in whatever county y'all are in Florida. You know, Miami's greatest GSR. I know y'all aren't Miami, but anyway, Miami sounds good when you talk about Florida. But you just have to show up and pay a little bit of attention, you know? And I always say this, what's that look like? How can I practice concept two as a regular AA member? What's that look like? Well, it looks like this. If you don't have a home group, get a home group. Step one. If you don't know who your GSR is, figure out who your GSR is. If you don't go to business meetings at your home group, start going to business meetings. If you don't listen to the report that your GSR gives, just start listening to reports that your GSR gives. If you're a GSR and you're missing district meetings or assemblies, either step down, let your alternator do it, or start going to district meetings and assemblies. Right. If you're a DCM, gather the collective conscience of your respected groups and share that with your delegate. Go to area assembly meetings, hold pre-conference reports and post-conference reports and go over the agenda. You don't have to go over every single item with every group that you have. Pick something that's important to them. You know, if I have a big book group, here's what I would do as DCM and even delegate. If I had a big book group, I would always talk about the plain language big book. Or the fifth edition big book. Boy, they'll really come, you know, buy some pizza. And then talk about the big book. You know, if I had a specialty group, I would talk about a specialty issue, a pamphlet or the preamble. Or, like, I would try to focus on the items in the agenda that meant something to people to try to, you know, get some excitement going on, right? But anyway, go to home group meetings, go to districts, go to your district meeting, go to assemblies, find out who your delegate is, read the background, get a copy of the background, ask your GSR, or your DCM, or your delegate for a background, pay attention, participate, show up, you know? God and AA has given us our life back, right? Like, it's not that it just saved us from the perils of hell. It's hit the restart button for us and gave us a whole new life to live. And sometimes my heart breaks for Alcoholics Anonymous because alcoholically so, we only put in what we think we absolutely have to. And sometimes that's nothing at all, but we sure do take a lot, don't we? Like sobriety in life. So just show up, pay attention. I struggle with these things too. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you. Even as delegates sometimes, I would think, man, I'm not driving all the way to Greenville, Tennessee to give a post-conference report when there's going to be six people there. But is that the right attitude to have? If there's going to be one person there, and it's not this area, 64 funded me. It's not my own money. Like, I should be going anywhere as a delegate or an alternate delegate in any corner of the world in my area with respect to my area when there's one alcoholic that shows any interest whatsoever and just one item on the background. Did I do that as delegate? No. You know, I focused on, you know, where I would go in and there'd be 180 people, 19 pizzas, and Shane S. Woo, right? I did a little bit of better job towards the end and focused more on rural areas, but it was easier for me to take a whole Saturday out and go somewhere that I would be welcomed warmly with a big crowd, you know? But that's not the right thing to do. So I'm talking with you, not at you. But, you know, all of these hot button topics that I haven't specifically mentioned, but, you know, that you know what it is. It's a preamble. It's plain language, big book. It's the 12 and 12 and changing life. All this stuff we're talking about, you know, is stuff that we all need to participate in with respect to conversations. And there will be more continued conversations about what does Alcoholics Anonymous look like today and for the future. I'm going to shut up. We got 12 minutes left. If we got some discussion, that's great. But anyway, thanks for letting me share.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.